This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, today we are starting a new series of lectures on perhaps the most important aspect of our lives, which is our ending. This is a series on death and hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us to understand this and to prepare for it. Let me begin by giving you asking a question. This is an actual exercise that we do when we do our LECs, the Leadership Excellence course that I teach all over the world, which in the last couple of years we have not done thanks to COVID and the restriction on travel. But inshallah, biiznillahi ta'ala, we hope to do it again soon. And that's the Leadership Excellence course. I begin this course by doing an exercise. I tell people to write their own balance sheet, assets and liabilities, two columns, which are intrinsic to any balance sheet. So we say, write down what do you see as your assets and what do you see as your liabilities. And that's what I'm asking you to do now. Please do that. Write down your assets and write down your liabilities. And then if I tell you that a day will come when this will flip, your assets will become liabilities and your liabilities will become assets. Right? And you don't have to take it too literally, but this is what will happen. It will flip. The liabilities will become assets and assets will become liabilities. And then I ask you a third question, which is, if you knew this in advance, where would you invest most of your time, money, energy? In what we normally call assets or in what we normally call liabilities? Now, by liabilities, I don't mean literally liabilities as in loss, but I want to ask you a simple question. My question is, if I ask you to if I ask you this question, which is that what do you track in your life? What do you track? Do you track your income or do you track your charity? Which one do you track? Which numbers make you the most anxious? Which numbers are you looking towards to say, I hope this will increase year after year? Right? Sincerely ask yourself this question. Income or charity? What is the answer for us? We want a good salary. We want increments. And the increments must be as frequently as possible. Annual increment, definitely. If I can get an increment every 6 months, even better. If I can get an increment every week, that's even better. You will never get it, but I'm saying that this is what we would like to have. So also, if I'm a business person, then I want my business. What is my top line? What is my bottom line? What is my profit margin? And everything must keep going up. This is our orientation towards this dunya. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. But then what is our orientation towards charity? Do we track charity? Are we concerned that this year I did not give as much charity as I gave last year? Are we asking this question to ourselves to say, I must give more charity each year? Every year my charity must increase. And by what measure? How much? Are we doing this? Or are we content with saying, okay, I gave my zakat, which is 2.5%. And maybe I gave something more. That's enough. That is enough. Again, remember, I'm not talking about anything haram. I'm talking about only halal. Only if it is haram, that goes into Jahannam. I mean, we are not talking about that. We're talking about halal. halal income. Are we tracking that or are we tracking charity? Now, why am I asking this question? Because of this. As I said, a day will come when the balance sheet will be flipped. The asset becomes liability, liability becomes asset. Let's understand that. When I say liability, I'm looking at charity, meaning outflow. What has gone from my income? Now, I know you don't consider that a liability, so don't take the word too literally, because we're using the balance sheet analogy. I'm using these two words. Most of you will not think of charity as loss. No, you will not think. You say, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing to do. But do you see charity as investment? Do you see charity as something that you're going to get a return on? Do you see charity as something which is absolutely critical? Because this is my saving. This is my saving and my saving is earning for me. Do we see it? Do we see that? Because ask yourself this question. Again, as I said, halal income. The best of halal income is something that you 100% halal, you are not violating any of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. So therefore, inshallah, your halal earning is ibadah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward it. What about charity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will give man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. Allah said the one who comes with one good deed, who spends $1, Allah will give him 10 times that, 10 likewise. That's not happening with income. So now when you come to the balance sheet, the day I'm dying, what will my balance sheet show? My balance sheet will show my assets as my property, bank balance, money, whatever I had. And within quotes, liability. Again, as I said, don't take it literally. Outflows will be my charity. But when I die, this will be flipped. Now what? Now, that charity of mine is something that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is going to reward me for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will add to it and He will reward me in keeping with His majesty and grace. And what I leave behind in this world is something that I will be questioned on. If I earned halal, alhamdulillah. If I did not, it's a major problem. But even if I earned halal, it is something that I will be questioned on. Illa mashallah, we ask Allah to give us Jannah without hisab. But the law is, everybody will be questioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everyone will be questioned, everyone will have to give hisab. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, he said, Ya Rasulullah, even you, he said, even me. And he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really takes your hisab, if He really takes you to account, then you are destroyed. Then you are finished. Because there is no way that we can stand up to the kind of scrutiny and the kind of questioning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. So he used to make dua, Allahumma hasibni hisaban yasira. Oh Allah, make my hisab easy. Make my questioning and reckoning easy. We ask Allah for Jannah without hisab. So now these things which I accumulated in the world and which I will leave behind when I die have suddenly become a liability. I will be questioned on them. Now my point is, if we knew this in advance, that the balance sheet is going to flip, that the asset will become liability, the liability will become asset. And remember, we know this already. Then what will anyone with Iman, any Muslim who has Iman, what will he do? What will he try to maximize? He will try to maximize that which will be his asset when he dies. And he will try to minimize that which will be his liability when he dies. How does he do that? By transferring the assets into the liabilities column, within quotes. in life, by giving it away, by giving away in charity, by doing actions of Sadaqatul Jariya. Right? My brothers and sisters, this day is going to come. This day is going to come, and to me, just to make your life interesting, we don't know when it will come. It can be right now, as I am speaking to you. And I always make this dua, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, take me in a state when I am doing something which you like and which is a state of obedience to you. So we ask this for you, and I ask it for myself, and I ask it for everybody. May Allah take us in a state when we are doing something which is pleasing to Him, and which is in service of the deen, of Islam. That day will come. Suddenly. Nobody expects to die, but we all die. So I want to begin with this. I want to begin with asking you to think about this and say, what if I track my charity instead of tracking my income? Well, you are welcome to track both. But if you give importance to the charity, simple question I ask sometimes people, generous people who give, you know, considerable amounts of money in charity. I ask them, tell me, this year you bought a car, a new car. This year your charity, is it equal, not more, is it equal to the price of the car? So you got a car, new car, 80,000, top of the line Tesla is what, 80,000? 100,000? $50,000? You got a new car. Brilliant, no problem, Alhamdulillah. By all means, buy it. But did you give 80,000 in charity? Because when you die, that car will be left behind and you will have to account for it. And whatever charity you gave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. So even the generous people, your charity, is it equal to the price of your car? Your charity, is it equal to the price of your house? Your charity, is it equal even to the price of the clothes that you have? Alhamdulillah, we have clothes till, I mean, I have clothes for 7 generations. Huh? Allah Akbar. My problem is no generation wants to wear my kinds of clothes. It's not my problem, I'm happy about that. Unique. My own fashion. But seriously, jokes apart, my point I'm making and reminding myself anew is, what is our view about death? And that's where I want to begin this question of, this session on life after death. We are all travelers. Every one of us, we are all travelers. We are all travelers in this world. And Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned this. He said that in this life, we are travelers. And he said, treat this life as if you are a traveler, you just stopped under a tree for some shade. You're not going to live under that tree. You're not going to build your house under that tree. You just stopped. You were traveling for a while, it's hot, you stopped for a while, you know, to catch your breath for some shade under the tree, and then you will continue. We are all travelers in this world. We did not start here, and we will not end here. This world and our life in it is a stage in our total existence. We started in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decided to create us. We remained in that state as long as He willed. The means and the rules of that existence were different from the means and rules of this existence today. Those don't apply to us today. Yet we existed for as long as Allah willed. In the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we were in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we did not have our shops and our, you know, our stores and our jobs and our careers, and we didn't eat food and we didn't breathe air and we didn't, but we were there. We were there as entities in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us from there into the alamul arwah, the world of the souls, where He asked us a question. And he said, "Am I not your Rabb?" And we all testified. Qalu bala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, and remember, when your Rabb brought forth the children of Adam alayhi salam, from the first to the last, from their loins, their seed, or from the Adam alayhi salam's loin, his offspring, and made them testify to themselves, saying, "Am I not your Rabb?" They said, "Yes." Qalu bala shahidna. Yes, we testify. Lest you should say on the day of resurrection, "Verily, we were not aware of this." Every single one of us, from the highest of them to the lowest of them, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Imam al-Anbiya, the Sayyidul Mursaleen, to the worst of the human beings, whoever that person is, they all testified, "Yes, Ya Rabb, you are our Rabb." As I said, this rules of existence of this world were different from the one before it, and the one we were to go from there. So the rules of existence in the Alam al-Arwah were different from the rules of existence in the Ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the Alam al-Arwah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into the Rahm, the womb of our mothers, and the rules of existence there again changed. Completely different. In the wombs of our mothers, we received nourishment directly from our mother's body, over which she had no control. She couldn't stop it, she couldn't give us more, she couldn't give us less. We continued to be nourished and grew even when she could not retain anything she ate. Right? Morning sickness that women have when they are pregnant, first 2 or 3 months. May Allah protect us. Some of them have it throughout the entire pregnancy. Can't keep anything down. In some cases, it gets so severe that they have to be literally on drips continuously. Yet the child grows. The child in the womb grows. And we remain there in a sack surrounded by liquid, the amniotic fluid, without any air to breathe, no sunlight, automatic climate control, very limited space to move, and totally free from all concerns. And we stayed there for 9 months. For 9 months we were underwater. We were not breathing any air. Nourishment came automatically. We couldn't stop it, we couldn't choose it. Cold, hot, everything was automatically done. 9 months. Then we came out into this world. Then we were born in this world, into an environment which was totally strange for us and which was a great shock. And so we came out screaming and weeping. Right? Those who welcomed us, they laughed at our screaming. They were so happy. They said, "Oh, very good. Good lungs." They laughed at our weeping. In this world, we will live this part of our existence as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And then we will go into the next stage of our life, al-intiqal, muntaqil huna, to change location into the al-alam al-barzakh, which is the qabr. Into the alam, into the world behind the wall, the qabr. There, once again, the means of our existence and its rules will change. Just like the rules of this existence did not apply to our life in our mother's womb, even though the mother herself was subject to those rules, the rules of this existence will not apply in the next stage, which is Al-Alam al-Barzakh. In the previous alam, the mother needed air to breathe. We did not need any air. If the mother wanted to eat, she had to go somewhere, get some food, or somebody had to give her the food. For us, it came automatically. If the mother felt cold, she had to, you know, put on a sweater, wear a shawl. If she felt hot, she had to take it off. For us, everything was automatic. We had to do nothing. Rules different. And so also when we go into the Alam al-Barzakh, into the Qabr, once again the rules will change. Rules of our existence will change. From that place, we will be raised up on the Day of Judgment and taken to the place of gathering, Al-Hashr. And there again we will remain as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He arranges every affair from the heavens to the earth, and then the affair will go up to Him in one day, the space whereof, the duration of that day, is 1,000 years of your reckoning, 1,000 years of our present time. And then we will be assigned to our final place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree Jannah and Jannatul Firdaus and the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, for all of us. But we will be assigned to our final place, which is Jannah or Jahannam, where we will remain forever. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ وَنُدْخِلُهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَلِيلًا. But those who believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam, Tawheed, and do good deeds, deeds of righteousness, we shall admit them to gardens under which rivers flow, which is Jannah, abiding there, staying there forever. Therein they shall have azwajum mutahhara, purified mates, and we shall admit them to shades wide and ever deepening. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. But those who disbelieve and deny our ayat, the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah around us, such are the dwellers of the fire, and they shall stay there forever. My brothers and sisters, this is very, very important for us to understand this and to reflect on it and to keep it foremost in our minds. That one day we will die, and that day can be any day, including now. That is why Rasulullah said, my example is like a man on a horse traveling in the desert. He saw a tree and stopped in the shade to rest for a while, and then he continued the journey. This life is that standing in the shade. It must be understood that the only law is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only law. His law applied to all our previous existences, and it applies to this one, and it will continue to apply to our existences to come. Nobody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has any authority in any existence, because He is the creator of the alameen. He is the creator of the entire, all the worlds, those we can see and those we cannot see. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us limited choice to take decisions about our lives, and He linked consequences to those decisions. Consequences in this world and in the Akhirah. However, in His mercy, He also gave us limited choice. And He gave us a guidebook. He made the rules, and He linked them. He linked our choices to the decisions, consequences to our decisions, and He gave us a guidebook so that we can make the right decisions, and that is the Quran al-Kareem. And He sent a teacher, and that was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to teach us how to live and how to take decisions so that the consequences in both worlds will be positive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave it to us to decide whatever we like using our limited intelligence and faculties. He showed us a way by means of His perfect knowledge and power. And this is something that we need to really and truly understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ma ta'buduna min dunihi illa asma'a sammaytuhuma thammaytumuhuma thammaytumuha. Sorry. Ma ta'buduna min dunihi illa asma'a sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن الحكم إلا لله أمر ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Allah Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu said, which means, you do not worship besides Him but only names which you have named which you have invented and forged, you and your fathers, for which Allah has sent you no authority. Allah did not send out any authority. You created all these things and mythology and these gods that you worship are your creation. And Allah did not give you any authority to create them. The command or judgment of the law is for none but Allah. He has commanded that you worship none but Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship no one except your creator. That is the true straight religion. That's the true straight path, but most people do not know. That's a fact. Muslims are today 1/5 of the world, which means that for every one Muslim, there are 4 who are not Muslim. For every one believer, there are 4 disbelievers. For every one person who accepts Allah, there are 4 who deny. Now, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, the command or the judgment is for none other than Allah, it is clear that no matter what we choose to do, ultimately only the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will happen. This is clearly visible in all aspects of creation, be it the movement of celestial bodies or the movement of blood in our bodies, assimilation of food, getting diseases, getting cured, life, death, regeneration of the earth after rain, or any number of natural phenomena which happen according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and order. It is only in aspects of conduct that we have been given some choice. However, what is essential to remember and remind is that no matter what we choose for ourselves, the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order does not change. What changes is the consequences of our choices, which may be in our favor or against us. So we are free to choose to obey or disobey Allah. But the choice is not free. It has consequences. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand this. Now think about this in this context, that if, when we were in the womb of our mothers, if an angel had come to us and said that you are going out into this world, and in this world there will be day and night, and in the day you will see the sun in the sky and it's so bright and there's sunlight everywhere and sunlight will feel warm and hot if you stay in it too long, and in the night it will be dark but there will be a moon, and the moon will have its own light, which is very, very cool kind of light. It will reflect the sunlight. And there will be stars in the sky, and you will marvel at the number of stars. And in this world, you will have different kinds of food, and this food, and that food. And there will be cars, and there will be planes, and right, there will be Emirates and A380 business class. And 777 business class, all travel, joys of travel, we seem to have forgotten them, thanks to COVID. and so on and so on and so on. It will be birds and animals and flowers and plants and water and the sea and boats and you name it, football, basketball. If the angel had come and told us this in the wombs of our mothers, tell me how believable was that? Would we have believed? We have no concept. You are a fetus in the stomach of your mother. You have no way of understanding any of this. These would be words. Think about that. Today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah brought us into this world. And in His kalam and through His Nabi alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the world to come. This is how the day of judgment is going to be. This is how the grave is going to be. This is how the day of judgment is going to be. This is how, inshallah, we ask Allah for Jannah. When you go to Jannah, this is how Jannah will be. These are the fruits of Jannah. These are the rivers of Jannah. These are the trees of Jannah. These are the palaces of Jannah. And so on and so forth. And may Allah protect us from Jahannam. This is how Jahannam will be. This is how the pit of Jahannam will be. This is how some one pit will be deeper and worse than the others. And so on and so on. Again, it's a matter we have to take on belief. Because there is no way of verifying that. Nobody who goes back. Nobody who comes out of the womb goes back into the womb. Supposing I had a twin and the two of us are there. So I can't say, well, I know I'm going to go out and come back and tell you how it is. No. Once somebody goes out, he's gone. Similarly, in this life, once we go, we're gone. We will discover. And those who believe in the right thing, the reward is that they will believe, they will see what they believed. And this will be a matter of joy for them. And those who did not believe in the right thing, the shock will be that they will now see what they refuse to believe in. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to believe the word of Rasulullah and to believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself's word about what will happen to us when we go from this world. Because the time to go is very close. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to prepare for it and to meet it in a state when He is pleased with us. Jalla Jalalu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.